Welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit stiff and talk horror shit. I am Joey. This is Leo.
I wish I had a vape cigarette right now. I just picture myself just...
Like, the only, like, vapes I have are, like have had are, like, the THC ones and the CBD ones before.
Bro, can you picture me stoned? Just doing these reviews, like, nah, man, that movie, hold up, she was tight,
There was only one episode that, like, I was high on.
You had your broccoli? You had your broccoli that day?
That was, what's the Peter Jackson movie. Can't think of the title. For some weird reason.
Dead Alive?
Yeah. That was a movie. That was like episode 4 or 5.
Yeah, no shit. Our first three episodes were only 2 movies.
Yeah. Which brings us to this. This is episode 100. We've done this 100 times, y'all. Again.
No.
Listening.
No.
This is 100.
No, it's 100 that it's going to show, but it's not 100 that, because remember, we've lost one episode, which I thought was the greatest episode we had ever done for Terraformer.
You think that was the greatest one?
Dude, we went off on that. That shit was legit and perfect. Like, we didn't even go We didn't do, like, we didn't pause. Dude, we were, like, just straight in the zone.
It was a good one. This is true. That was a great lost episode. And there's also another, casual horror Leo's Corner that's kind of lost, that hopefully will be recovered somehow, some way. I was talking to someone who is involved with that about 2 hours ago, so hopefully, you know, that shows up. But whenever it does, it's going to be amazing.
Whenever it does, Joey's going to lose his shit. That's a given.
But yeah, so like this also kicks off our third year. And as we always do with, well, I guess what we started to do after the first year, that like our season premiere, because of like how it lines up with the year, whatever calendar, it is back to school time. So we always like to pick a school movie, and this year's no difference. We technically did it our first year. We did Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College, which is still one of my all-time favorite movies we did here. Then last year we did Tragedy Girls, which was our first episode with our boy Blake. This year, no guess, but we are doing the movie After School Massacre 2014. But before we get to any of that nonsense, as we continue tradition, what are we sipping on today, Leo?
Take a wild guess.
Tequila.
Yeah. I'm back on my diet. Hey, you remember last time I was on tequila, I went from 240 to 213.
I mean, there is like low calories, if like any calories. I think it's like 5 calories, like tequila, and like the serving size. So yeah, it's a lot better than here.
I mean, I tried the seltzers and all that, bro. I just felt bloated.
Well, They kind of give you like a big tasty, I guess.
I felt bloated. It's like I would need to drink like two and then take like five shots behind it. Like for Vincent's birthday, I had a six pack and I had a bottle, half a bottle of tequila to,
yeah.
to shoot that bus over the moon.
But yeah, cause like I was actually trying not to drink today, but I was like, it is episode 100, and it's kicking off our third year. So like, wait now. Gotta get sun. And as you guys heard, I do like these still reserved alloy series spiked tangerine. Something about it. It's just a good taste because the rest of the flavors in this series I don't particularly like. They're not that good. But this one's good. 8%. It's the closest you could get to a Four Loko without being a Four Loko. Like, it has that kind of that same strong, intense flavor to it, but just notched back a bit. Mm. Oh, but I've been
minus the diarrhea.
Yeah,
minus. All right. One time I had Four Locos, oh man. I was in the shitter all day. The next day, I only had one.
Like, if you had two Locos in a day, yeah, that Rhea is going to hit you. I've done it before.
Just call a preach. Call a preacher. Call a priest.
So, before I dive into this a bit, to this movie, no, we like to do our little chit chat. And I feel like this movie, there is a big chunk of it. There's not much to say about it. So I'm gonna throw in some like extra stuff. And I just wanted to like talk about this first. There's some breaking news in the world.
CM Punk came back.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. He did. Any thoughts on that, Leo? Because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen clips. I just know that he was coming to AEW.
Hey, cold personality hits. That was it. Dude, that was a dude crying in the crowd. Legit. It's like a dude literally was in tears like, oh my God. I was all like, bro, he's back. That's cool, but it's not this. I mean, I get it. Some people are passionate. I mean, wrestling fans are the most passionate. As you and me, we've had our passionate moment with like our wrestling talk.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, wrestling fans could be the most down to earth, but they can also be the most unforgiving people in the entire world.
They like truly are. These are facts.
So, no, yeah, it was actually pretty good to see him back. He didn't pipe bomb or anything. I don't know how to, I don't think it was like, I guess because it didn't feel scripted. It just felt like the music hit and he's back. And no matter what he said, people were just like, yeah. So, yeah. It was one of those moments. But seems like he's going to have a pretty decently good match on All Out. What's that pay-per-view they have? Yeah, All In or Out, All Out, something like that, the AEW pay-per-view.
All In, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm... well, that's the weekend my wife's going to be in the hospital, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to catch it somehow. So yeah. I'm not going to deny it. It'll probably be a good match, but sometimes wrestlers being out of the game for a while and coming back to it, they do tend to do some. Let's see, I don't know. Hopefully, we don't get to see much rust from him, but hopefully, it'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, yeah, because, like, there's sometimes, like, way too much hype for something. And, yeah, because, like, wrestlers do have rust. They're not as height. So, like, oh, you know, it might not be as good as it should be. But I was going to mention that the news that I found out today that people are freaking out about, and I guess it was, like, announced today, that it seems like one of our favorite websites, OnlyFans, will no longer do explicit content, which is basically how they make a living. Now, people did say that it is still going to be. There will also be like nudity, but not explicit. And that's always kind of like, kind of, well, what does explicit mean? You know?
Bro, it's going to be a strip club. It's going to be a webcam strip club.
So, yeah, some people are complaining. A lot of people are. And I think OnlyFans will lose a lot of money because, like, what they're trying to do now is basically become a Patreon type page. But we already have Patreon. Like, you don't need to compete with Patreon. You know, Patreon has their own thing that's working for them. OnlyFans had like their thing, but now they're taking away their thing away, and it's not going to work, in my opinion.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they were bought out by Sony. Funimation used to have a bunch of hentai on there, but when Sony bought them out, they took all the hentai out.
Oh, I
know. Yeah, okay. You don't watch anime. I found out the other day at the comic book store. It was just a random conversation we were having, and next thing you know, it came up about hentai and Sony and Funimation.
I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that one of our favorite guests on the show, she put some explicit things on her OnlyFans, so sure she's not too thrilled about the changes, but see, yeah. So, here's why I brought up OnlyFans is the movie that we are talking about today. it feels like at any moment. At any time, a porno could happen during this movie. After School Massacre, directed, written by Jared Masters. He mostly does not just horror movies. He does kind of, I guess, more folky films. This heavily, you know, cast members. Some of them have like repeated about his movie. But he's actually starred in a SNL sketch once before. That was like a guy named Ben Dover, from like, I think like 2009, which I want to like put that sketch up to see like how he does. I believe this is our second brain damage film to do. Because we did Jaws.
Same company?
Yeah.
Oh, man. They must have put some extra money in this one then, because Goth.
like Goth was like from like, I think, 2002 or 2003. And this is like 11 years later, so. They got some extra cabbage to get through. Yeah, because like, yeah, brain damage were super low budget back in the day. It was good to see that they've got their production better. And they're still making films still to this day. I've been a fan since the early 2000s, brain damage.
Yeah.
Brain damage forever. But this movie's alternate title is a Teacher's Day. Teacher's Day makes more sense to this movie.
Oh yeah, it does when they finally mention it.
Well, they kind of mentioned Teacher's Day in the very beginning, but
yeah, but it gets brought up later.
Yeah, there's okay. So like, there are two things in this movie. Well, I'll talk about it later. Yeah. So we open up to this like slumber party.
No facts.
Huh?
No effects?
No effects?
I like that group. I said no facts? Oh. You have no facts there, guy?
Like, facts about, like, the director and, like, the previous title. Do you have facts?
But of course.
I just kind of...
Thank you for asking.
I didn't think you had facts, so I was like...
I have important facts. Like the underwear in this movie, most of it was bought at the dollar store.
Oh.
It's also an official selection of the Shockfest and Mockfest in 2014. And this movie is also award-winning, believe it or not. And it was nominated for Best Feature at the Shockfest Film Festival. And Donna Lee Hasen won Best Actress for her portrayal of Miss Perkins. Yes, yes, yes. Huh?
Pretty good.
And this is also adapted from a novel by Stephanie Campbell. I got one more.
Wrote this down. But I think it's the actress Lindsay Lam. Was also in a movie, I think it came out either 2 years prior or like 2 years after, called After School Special. So, you know, kind of done the whole after school circuit.
Shit. Well, one thing that actually impressed me when I read about this was actually that this whole movie was filmed in 5 days. No, it was written in 5 days. And it was shot in 6. And most of the whole entire movie was shot like in the order that it comes out in. Like in scenes. Really? Like sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty cool.
Like I was kind of curious like where they filmed like the very few school scenes. Because it seemed like it was like one of those kind of like smaller community colleges. I wasn't sure.
I was gonna say, don't get me started with those teacher parking spots.
But yeah. Any other factoids, Leo? Before we jump into the film.
Well, I just dropped like about 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, like that was pretty good. I didn't like expect you to have like any so.
You douche.
Well,
I actually watched this movie 2 times. This is the first time I didn't pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
I was writing down facts or looking up facts.
Yeah. So the opening scene, it's a slumber party, girls, you know, and like their underwear, jumping around the bed, typical kind of like slumber party type scene in like any type of movie. But then you have this one girl, Erica. She's not so happy. She's in the bathroom. She's calling her ex-boyfriend. I forgot the boyfriend's name. It doesn't matter. Here's one thing with this movie, the names are a little difficult to like remember. There's 3 people's names that I remember and I wrote them down. Erica is like one of them just because they keep on mentioning her, which I'll talk about later. So Erica is basically basically like leaves her ex-boyfriend a message saying, hey, this is the last time you're gonna hear from me, and blah blah blah, basically giving him a suicidal type message.
Insert the youth soundtrack right here, or insert every 2005 to 2007 or 8 emo mixtape mix right here.
Yeah, then she like takes some pills and yeah, she kills herself at slumber party, which is weird because like we find out later. None of those girls really knew her too well. They kind of invited her just because they're like, hey, you seem whatever. Come to my sleepover. And yeah. So the girls like find her. They freak out, obviously. And then we get to the opening credit scene, which I rarely talk about opening credit scenes. But I think this movie had a really good and fun opening credit theme. Like, it's not your typical, says, like, you know, directed by, produced by, you know, written, you know, type thing. It's basically like a group of girls handing down notes in the class where they fold up the paper and they write down things. And it's not just like they open up the paper and it says starring this person. It says starring this person and they say like some like note about them, or you know, and like the girls like say, oh my god, have you like seen this girl? Or like, have you heard this lighting guy? He's like really good. Oh really? Was it, you know, I thought that was like pretty cool. Yeah.
It was creative.
Yeah. Yeah, because I always like interesting opening credits. But yeah, during the opening credits, this is when we find out it's a Teacher's Day. Which like one of the girls mentioned, is that an actual day? And I was going to look that up, but I forgot to, like, look it up if it's an actual day. Like, is Teacher's Day an actual thing? Because even, like, when I went to school, I was like, did we have a Teacher's Day?
Dude, nowadays there's a celebration for everything. There's Taco Day, there's Pupusa Day, there's fucking Hamburger Day, there's Hot Dog Day, there's fucking... I might be hungry. Vinyl Day, Hat Day, there's Dress Day, there's Hack Your Grandmother in 45 Pieces Day.
There really is, and I love it. Like, I used to, like, when I was working at, like, a previous job, I would always write the different days, because I would, like, look it up. Oh, okay, so Teacher's Day is actually May 4th, but it may change, like, yearly, but
yeah, it actually apparently it does. I think, hold on, let's see. In 2022 is gonna be May 3rd, so I get, okay, I'm guessing it's on a Tuesday then.
That's weird, May, but I guess so.
Oh, it's because the teachers are gonna finally get rid of all these little fuckers and they're happy.
I guess so, yeah. I guess it makes sense, but yeah, so. This is when the film, to me, really had those porn vibes, because you have these two 17-year-old girls, or they claim to be 17. They walk up to their teacher, and they're basically throwing themselves at him and saying, hey, I saw you're looking at my Facebook page, and you liked my photo, blah, 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 blah. And the teacher, Mr. Anderson, he definitely was giving off kind of creepy vibes. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I actually own a certain inappropriate movie that almost has this exact same storyline, except for there's no one that gets killed in it. But it's almost the exact same story. So that's why I guess, kind of put it all like, okay, this is like a porn that's breaking to happen. And like the acting, no offense, from most of the actors and actresses, they're not that good, you know?
How can that be, bro? We had a Best Actress award for this movie.
Well, I said most. I did like main girl, Psycho's last name. What is it? Goddamn. I should. Psycho. Psycho. Oh, Perkins. Yeah. Jess Perkins is probably the best actress in this movie. She's the second oldest daughter to Mrs. Perkins, which Mrs. Perkins is hilarious. We'll talk about her a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. She sure knows how to make a good dinner, by the way.
Yep. That dinner, wow, man. What was that? Just like ham pieces? I don't know.
Yeah, dinner for three. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Okay, so yeah, it's like basically, yeah, we're setting up that there's these two girls who are really attracted to this teacher who teaches European history. And so really soon after this, Mr. Anderson's calling to the principal's office, and the principal's all like, hey man, kind of follow any of your students like social medias. And Anderson tried to kind of like deny it. Well, not really. He was silent, which was
bad. He pleaded the fifth, bro. He pleaded the fifth.
But he should have been like, no way, I don't do that. He did like try to explain later why he followed her. He was like, well, I didn't realize who it was, blah, 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 or something like that. But then the principal was like, hey, unfortunately, I have to let you go. These are the rules. I think you're like a really good teacher. People like you. I think you're attractive and blah, blah, blah. And you have this like strong will that people just like enjoy. And then this is when he snaps. Mr. Anderson snaps and then snaps the principal's neck. So it's a movie right off the bat, you know who the killer is. And because there's a big amount of slasher movies where they leave the killer as a mystery. So I want to ask you, Leo, what do you prefer? Do you prefer knowing who the killer is right away, or you like to kind of have that mystery of like, is it this person, is it that person, you know?
It depends. I mean, it really depends on the story, to be honest. In this case and scenario, it was kind of dumb. No offense, it was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you set up a plot point of a girl committing suicide. And then this...
I just say my biggest issues with that suicide
kind of plot? Had nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. It made no sense. It's like, it had nothing to do with any motive that the killer had. It had no motive for like these girls doing anything. And then there's one scene that was just a waste of time and made no sense, which I'll talk about a bit later, but it was just an unnecessary thing to this movie. And
Joey, let's be honest. Is there really anything to say about this film?
Well, I see, like, that's what I'm saying. Like once they sit up their, like, their slumber party, this is when there's really not much to say. And just like the movie, which, like, has this unnecessary suicide that they try to kind of bring up from time to time, they have this, I'm just going to say it now also. There's a girl that, like, passes out because she's, like, way too drunk. And she has this unnecessary, super long dream sequence. I guess it's like a nightmare of, like, the girl, Erica. And I don't even know what that even meant. Like, Erica was just kind of, I don't even know what she was doing in this nightmare or a dream. You know, it's kind of like, and it went on forever. And that was one of my biggest issues. No, that was my biggest issue with this movie, was that the film is pretty short. It's 75 minutes long, but they pad on the runtime with quite a handful of unnecessary things, like things that, like, run on for too long, because I think this movie would have been a lot better if it was just 60 minutes, you know, 59 minutes, whatever. Because I know movies that are just like 50 minutes long, and they're like, oh, that's solid. They realize, hey, we just need this much time. This one was weird.
I mean, after the whole situation with him getting fired, the girls are throwing a sleepover. You've seen Slumber Party Massacre, right?
Yeah. One of my favorites. Right.
Yeah, this was just like a complete ripoff.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was the Walmart knockoff. Not even. It was the
the Great Value
Dollar General knockoff.
but I do want to like say this. The second person Mr. Anderson kills is our brief cameo of Mindy Robinson, who plays the assistant or like secretary to the principal. So that was kind of cool. But she's in it just to get killed, and she's gone.
Yeah, I mean, some of the kills in this movie was just flat out weird. Like, bro, don't get me started. I never knew you can swing around a mailbox that way. By the way,
that's like my favorite kill in this movie. Actually, the mailbox kill.
First of all, how silent must this guy be just to sneak up on you with a mailbox? How can you not see or hear someone come up behind you with a mailbox?
And, like, you know how tough it is? Because, okay, so we're not talking about he just had, like, the mailbox. He had the mailbox plus the post. So
A wooden post.
Yeah. For him to take it out of the ground, it just seems like someone would have to have seen him do that, because it's not going to be like a quick and easy thing. You'd probably have to work on it for like 10 minutes or like, dude, so. Just,
he swung it like nothing. I think even Jason Voorhees would have had a little, you know, a little strain. This dude just like swung it like Ken Griffey Jr. with a baseball bat.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a fun kill. that was the first teenage girl killed. Well, I guess she wasn't like a teenager because like she was the older sister of Perkins. I think her name was Laura Perkins. I don't remember.
She was dead by mailbox.
Yep. But her boyfriend is my favorite character in this entire movie. Mr. Luke.
The Luke one the girl killed herself for?
What's that?
That's who the girl killed herself in the beginning.
Was it him?
Yeah, like later on in the movie, that's like, oh, like what's the, like when they were doing that truth or dare or never have I ever thing, whatever, we had to take a shot or like, and they're like, say something really nasty. And they're like, well, I slept with Laura's or Erica's boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And it was Luke. I'm like, damn.
Luke. Then like Luke cheated on like Laura, like all the time.
Luke was ready to put his dick wherever anything would let him in.
Like, he would say some hilarious things sometimes. He would just be cracking me up. I should like written down like an actual quote, but like he makes this movie, every scene that like he's in, it's worth watching it for. He's funny. He's not like a great actor, but he's good at portraying this type of character. He's not like a douchebag, but he kind of is.
But, bro, he's a dick.
Yeah. Like he's kind of a dick character. He's not a douchebag. He's just a dick, an asshole, kind of, if you would. But he's funny.
I don't know. And then I'm always up for like serial killers, like when they get their masks, it should be a moment of epicness. This mask is just a beanie with the eyes cut with like eye holes.
Yeah, there is.
You see him cutting.
Yeah.
Oh man, my score is going down.
Because it's like one thing that like Luke does like mention during this like slumber party. The party is a little lame, which like Luke does mention quite a bit. But like Luke's more like, hey, we should all be like making out together, orgy type thing. But the girls are having kind of a boring slumber party. Some of them feel weird that they're having this slumber party the day after the girl killed herself at that same house. It's like, I was thinking this was like weeks afterwards. No, this was the next day. I guess this girl just has sleepovers all the time.
That or that girl was just that forgettable.
Yeah. Because
just like she was in the rest of this film.
Yeah. Just an unnecessary plot. I don't know if it was something that like Jordan wrote in, then he was like, I mean, Jared wrote in. He's like, wait a second, how do I end this and connect it? I can't forget it. Maybe
he got drunk and forgot to write her ending in there.
Maybe he did. it just seems like they mentioned it so many times that you would think, okay, there's going to be a conclusion here. No, it's just. Which, you know what? That could make it more real, because sometimes in like life, things happen. It doesn't always drive your next day or drive your life, you know? So maybe, just maybe, Jared Lee Masters is really smart here, and he's like realizing, hey, things happen. We don't need to like give it a reason. The end.
I think he was drunk.
But
there's one line in this movie that I'll always remember. Just one line. Like, well, first of all, let's talk about these kills in this movie, because some of them are pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, there's mostly weak kills in this movie. Most of it. And I think, like,
Joey, did you pick this movie for the women?
I mean,
it's you're also... not denying it. Joey, we're gonna have to have a conversation about
it. Good movies are a good movie. There could be different reasons why.
All right, yeah. Man.
Yeah, the kills are actually overall pretty weak. One of my kind of favorite kills, but like I enjoy this kill for probably the wrong reasons. He kills this one girl in the garage, and he picks up the weed eater, and you're thinking, okay, he's gonna like put it on, like cut up her face, blah blah blah. No, he doesn't. He takes a little like the lining, what's it called, like the little, you know, the cut line for like,
yeah, like what you put in to make it cut the grass, yeah.
And he chokes her with it and like hangs her. I thought that was pretty good, because like you're thinking one thing, but then they zig it. They're like, oh, okay, we're going zig and zag here. Throw you off a bit. I thought that was kind of cool.
Nah. It was like after they found out, like, oh, was it? They were talking about, like, so have they found out who the killer is? And the girl's like, oh, yeah, it's a. They think it's the teacher, what's his name? So, like, whoa, yeah, I knew that guy was a psycho. I saw him eat, put mayonnaise on his chicken nuggets once. I was like, then again, if I see someone putting mayonnaise on their chicken nuggets, I'd be like, you crazy motherfucker. You crazy.
Barbecue sauce. Luke that said that, though.
Yeah. See? One thing I will remember about this movie. Now it just makes me want to ask people when I meet them, do you put mayonnaise on your chicken nuggets? They tell me yes and be like, go get away from me. We can't be friends.
I've never seen that personally. I don't remember ever seeing that.
Someone put mayonnaise on chicken nuggets because it's not natural. That's why. Oh,
yeah. Maybe I've walked it out of my memory before, you know, but I've never seen it. Like another kill, which happened kind of like later on in the film. It was kind of like right before, you know, like most slashers, they go on like this final rampage. Because like the first part of the film, they're kind of spreading out the kills. Then the last third, they just kind of just go crazy. But still, this kill stood out because like this was in the kitchen. There was still about four or five people still alive in this house. This is in the kitchen. The killer has this like electric knife, and the girl's screaming. Like she's screaming on top of her lungs. He's not like trying to like close her mouth or like anything. And he slowly kills her, and she's just screaming. And I'm just like, how did no one hear that? How did no one just like say, what's going on? You know?
Bro, it was a one-story house. Exactly. How many people got killed? How many people got killed in the rooms alone? It's like, it didn't even look like a big house. It looked like one of those trailer homes.
Yeah.
That was a sad part. It's like, damn. At least get a two-story house.
there's like small like a joke about it, because like there's these two like characters which we didn't mention, but I'll make a slight little thing to them. There's these two nerdy guys who are being that kind of typical, which is really kind of a dated thing, because I don't think this is a trope anymore. Even for like 2014, I think this trope was gone. But to have these nerdy guys outside the window.
I mean, remember, now we can't have nerds be nerds. Like, nerds are the cool kids now.
Yeah. But I mean, this movie's still it's 7 years old, so it's not even exact long.
That's when the transition was happening. Marvel was already out making big movies.
But yeah, like these nerds, they're just like looking in the window, and they broke into the house. They didn't break a window, but they basically walked into the house without having an invitation. And the girls give them a bottle of I think it was vodka.
No, it was gin.
It was gin.
The girl brought some gin. Was all like, "Oh, I brought gin." And the guy, I remember the one guy put gin in his beer, and I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when they were having their epic dinner. A plate of ham. Just ham. Jesus.
Your mom does not look like she's good at cooking. I'm not going to be rude about that. They do mention during this film that she did porn, so, and she definitely kind of looks like a porn star. But, I don't know if the actual actress has done that, but
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, she definitely has Botox and other work done.
She looks like a fucking Muppet.
Yeah.
It's a legit Muppet. Just think of Polly. Was that her name? Polly Parton. Dolly Parton. Yeah, Dolly Parton. But those cheeks are bigger.
Yeah.
And those lips are Have you seen the singer for Dead or Alive? That kind of looks like that.
Yeah. David Byrne.
Yeah. Man. He kills that. I mean, it's the kills really just never didn't stand out.
Besides the mailbox one, but that's the problem with some really low budget movies, is they don't have the budget to do these crazy kills. But
I mean, they could still do some off screen kills that still could have led to the imagination.
I think like a bunch of I'm not saying a knock on Masters as a director, but there are directors who know how to make a cool kill with zero budget. Carpenter did that with the first Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cool kill, but really? Were they that cool? Not really. But because of the way he directed it and shot it, it made you think, that's the cool kill.
Oh, and this movie was so bright.
Yeah.
Every fucking room in the house had every light on. I was all Jesus. I can watch this movie in the dark and it'll light up my room perfectly.
It is a super bright movie. Which, I actually kind of liked about it. That it was so bright. It was so... It wasn't your... Because a lot of slasher movies try to have darkness. I mean, the outside was kind of dark, but just because it was nighttime. But.
All I gotta say is, I remember when he was he said something about Teacher's Day, and the girl, like, she's right before she got killed, and she's all like, how can you be mad? How can you be mad about Teacher's Day? You're an aide. You're a teacher's aide. I was all like, oh, fucking it. And I literally wrote, like, wait, this is what this was all about?
Apparently, which is weird.
And honestly, at that point, I wanted to, like, shut my TV off. Because this whole time, I'm giving the story the benefit of a doubt because they keep bringing up the suicide girl, which we've already mentioned, it has nothing to do with the story. This whole time, I'm thinking, oh, maybe that was his sister or
something.
Like that. You know, I'm thinking, okay, or maybe he was the one sleeping with her.
Yeah.
And then she committed suicide and the guy was actually feeling bad that she did. So now he's going after the friends because they're the one that she died on her watch. You know, something along those lines.
Yeah, like some type of like connection to it. But yeah, there is no connection and there is no use for that suicide storyline. But like the Teacher's Day thing, it's so weird. But like, Mr. Anderson does kind of complain about Teacher's Day in the first time you see him when he's talking to that other teacher. I forgot that teacher's name. You see her, I think, twice in this movie. Because he's like, well, like, I was thinking that we get, like, a gift card or something for, like, Teacher's Day. And she's like, no, we just get hot coffee. That's the thing.
Well, now, one thing I found extremely weird is this dude, I mean, he practically splattered one girl's blood all over the place. He killed Luke. He gave a little splatter here and there. That dude left with not a stain of blood on him.
That is true.
He left the crime scene with not a stain of blood. And honestly, though, I was hoping for a final girl chase.
Yeah.
There was no chase at the end of the movie.
Yeah, because, like, I was expecting that because, like, okay, so let's get to the end here because I have some issues with this ending. So, like Leo said, Anderson killed off Luke, and
point, he's killed off everybody in a weak way, too, by the way.
Yeah. If this movie was a bit, I guess, just smarter, Anderson's clothes would have been covered in blood, obviously. But he would have, like, brought, like, a change of clothes. Maybe these clothes he either puts on Luke, or he, like, burns him, or like, something. Because it does seem like Anderson tries to frame Luke because he gives like Luke his like little beanie.
I mean, the cops already know it's you.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. And then, and the fact that Anderson realizes that he never killed Jess, the final girl. Jess has been walking outside, kind of running, like, with this limp. And that limp, I also had a question about, like, why is she limping? There is no reason. She got slapped in the face.
Maybe she never walked on concrete barefooted.
Maybe.
I'm just making up an excuse. I'm making up an excuse for her here.
Cause she was just like slapped in the face, almost kind of raped, but not really. And yeah, I don't know why she's like limping around, but like kind of a funny thing. Her mom is on a date with this guy.
The Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Store brand.
Her mom is like. Like, she gives him Roadhead, and then they start, like, making out. And then the guy's distracted. He actually runs over her kid. Which I thought was kind of ridiculous. Like,
bro, the Wayans brothers could not have written a better scene. Let's be honest. Come on. Man, we've seen that in Scream. It was literally the same scene in Scream, except in Scream, not Scream, in a Scary Movie. Except in Scary Movie, that woman was giving some head. You remember scene?
From the first one?
Yeah, in Scary Movie where, like, the father runs over the daughter and the mom gets up, like, from giving head and it's like, oh, did we hit something? It's like, oh, no, don't worry about it, and, like, pushes her back to...
I don't remember that scene.
It's like it was the first scene of the movie. It was the beginning of the movie.
Oh, then. I just remember really one scene in that movie. Spider-Man. And that was when the scene where, like, Anna Faris and that guy are just, like, getting on and, yeah, all that.
Shoots her straight to the ceiling?
Yep.
Yeah. I'll always remember that one scene from that movie where she's like, I can't give you rated R, but I can give you PG-13. Wah! It hurt. Like, she has some hairy ass chest. Dude falls off the window.
Okay, yeah. I remember that now. I forgot about that, but...
Not thinking about it. Scary Movie wasn't that bad of a movie.
But yeah, so, like, they didn't actually... kill her. She's like, you know, hurt, obviously, bloody. But she looks at the camera and just does a stupid line, but I kind of dig it a lot because it's just so unnecessary. It's stupid. And it goes back to the whole, like, Teacher's Day thing. And she says, it's Student's Day, bitch. Like, I thought that was funny. It was like, it kind of brings back the whole thing. But here's my biggest thing with that also, which, like, Leo said that, Anderson knows that she's out there, and if he's trying to frame Luke, this girl can just tell the cops, say, no, it was this guy, like, for sure. So... why didn't he chase her down? Why didn't he do that final battle, which most slashers do? They don't have that in this movie, which, again, kind of hurts this movie a bit.
It's a one-story house. It's a very small one-story house. I'm pretty sure it wasn't even three bedrooms. I'm pretty sure it's a two-bedroom home.
It seemed like, two. Like, the master one, and then, like, Jess's room. Oh, no, it was three. Because, like, the two sisters had separate rooms.
That outside of that house could be very deceiving, my good sir.
Then, after the movie ends, we get the greatest music video of, like, all time. Fruits on your belly. How great of a song did Sean G do here?
If I want to see a banana, I'll just watch Giles. I'm trying to remember. Hold on. The name of the song was... Slumber Party. That's literally the name of the song, Slumber Party. I'd rather listen to that. I didn't mean to play it, but... Why aren't you stopping? Okay, stop.
I was like doing something else, but yeah. It was a dumb song.
Hey man, as long as they were having fun, props to them. Power to them.
But yeah, anything else you want to say about this movie before we do our ratings?
Whatever I have left to say, it's at the ratings.
Same here. I'm actually surprised that this episode is going as long as it did, because like I was thinking this would be like a 30-minute long episode.
Oh, I've been trying to finish this episode a long time ago.
So let's go to ratings then. I'll go with you, Mr. Leo, because I think you'll have the lower one.
Of course. But of course. All right, man. As we mentioned it, I'm not going to trip on the whole budget thing. Totally understand it. I actually like, even for the budget they had, how they did it. Now, I feel the director could have done a little more himself to showcase this movie a little better.
Yeah. I agree.
So, but hey, who knows? Maybe this was a project, school project or something. I don't know the full detail.
School project?
Yeah, an after school project. Yeah, for Teacher's Day.
For Teacher's Day.
Yeah. What you know? Nah. Story wise. Oh man, you know me. I love me some good story. It could be the crappiest graphics in the world, but at least let it have a good story. This story was just, even though it was like shot scene for scene, and they said, oh, this movie was written in 5 days. I'm pretty sure someone did a typo there, because I'm pretty sure that was like 5 minutes or 5 hours just to write down all the words. It's, and of course, there's no actual good musical score here either.
Oh, yeah, no. Score is bad.
But not to shit on their parade. They at least seem like they're having some fun. I like the intro. That was like the most creative thing in the movie, was literally the intro. I actually enjoyed it. So I'm going to go with a 4.5.
Okay.
It's everything I would love about a horror movie, this movie has none of it. But I am literally at least going up there for I'm giving them an A for effort. So balancing it out, that's as far as I go. And people would be like, but you gave Children of the Corn a zero? Yes, I gave Children of the Corn a zero. That's a fucking expensive budget ass movie. One. Two. Yeah. It was based on a fucking amazing ass short story that honestly was way better than the fucking movie. A quadrillion times way better than the movie. So yeah, even this movie scored higher than Children of the Corn. Take that, Children of the Corn.
My rating will be higher, obviously.
For all the wrong reasons.
Besides like the issues I like mentioned prior to this rating, I don't want to like say the same thing again, and like some of the things that like Leo mentioned, but yeah, I do think there were some pacing issues with this movie too that kind of helped or kind of like made it drag, because I did kind of mention that 75 minutes, but I didn't say it feels like it's almost 100 minutes, because there are unnecessary things and there are certain scenes that go on for too long that are just kind of thrown in there for packing the time. Like the bobbing for apples thing, it's like, why was that in there?
Oh, you know the murder that happened on the whole bobbing for apples things was actually written.
You didn't
as,
need to have that, you know, have like the whole thing to build it up.
I was gonna tell you that scene should have been a toilet kill.
Yeah, see, you could have had like a girl that like threw up.
No, originally the kill. You know how the one girl got killed on the table, like on the bobbing table. Yeah. There's a girl, a guy. Yeah, that scene was actually originally written as someone getting killed in the toilet. Last minute factoid. Useless factoid. Just throwing it out there. Just like some of the useless things in this movie.
But like the positives, I do like... I always like look at really... low budget films, and I like to look at the positive. I like to see what the director and the cast and crew really going for. And yeah, they seem like they were having a fun time. Seemed like it was a fun movie to make. Have to give them props on that. And you know, it wasn't bad looking cast. So, gotta give props to that. And I was gonna give this a 7, but I want to bring it down to a 6.5.
All right, Joey. I'm actually gonna be really, really fair with you.
Okay.
On the chick magnitude, what do you give it? But also at the same time, on the actual being a actual horror movie, what do you give it? Let's take away the hot chicks and stuff. As a horror movie, what do you give it? And just as a teenage, beautiful, because I know you love that teen drama. You love some hot girls. You like, you know, you like that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty sure you're basing this movie more on the teen side with that 6.5. So I actually want to hear your opinion. Like, what would you rate this movie like just from a horror, 100% horror point of view?
If it was just based on the horror elements, you take away like the cast and like whatever the things. I don't know. Like, I would give it maybe like a 4. Like, it's a 4. Yeah, it's a 4. Alrighty. As we go into the third year, of recommendations, you want to go first, Mr. Leo?
Oh, sure, I'll go first.
What's your recommendation?
I'm recommending 2 movies. Why not? And it's a part 1 and a part 2, by the way.
Okay.
Because part 3 sucked. Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2.
Hold on. The third one's actually really good.
I ain't like the third one. And I'll say this because I just, you know, I never saw those movies till I watched this one. I was all like, man, I was all like, this movie here. And then I was like, I went on Amazon Prime and they're there. So and one's on Shudder, one's on Amazon Prime. So I was like, let me see. Because I was like, I was looking for recommendations so I can, for this one. So I'm like, well, this sounds like a sleepover movie. Let me see this one. I feel like I watched the same fucking movie, but with an actual story. And then the kill count's higher on Slumber Party Massacre. There's actually, it's Roger Corman. So there's some titties and some asses.
A little like, here's a little interesting side note. Back when I did like the Name of Horror podcast, the the original run that you can't really find anywhere. I don't know if I can get that audio ever again. This was like in 2013 or like 2012. My first episode was about both series, Summer Party Massacre, like the entire series, and also Sorority House Massacre. And I talked about both those series like a good like 2 hours.
Yeah. So Slumber Party Massacre reminded me of this one, but way better. And then the second one was just completely chaotically different, but I love the music and I love like the little breakdowns and stuff. It's like the one scene where like, okay, without spoiling it too much, it's pretty much this movie, kind of, but with a Freddy Krueger twist.
You could say,
some sense of the way.
Yeah.
And the dude kills people with like a fucking drill guitar.
He's like a mix of like Andrew Bradley meets like Elvis or something, you know?
So yeah, and there's a lot of music in this movie. So, I recommend both. And when you watch both, you just be like, these are two different movies, but they just work so well.
That's why, like, I didn't like the second one my first time watching it, because like, this movie's way too corny. This movie's way too dumb. A lot of issues. I was like, how is he playing guitar when it's not even plugged in? It's not even like with proper strings on it.
Joey, C-rated movies have like the dumbest things going on. It doesn't matter, but if a dude's playing an air guitar with not the proper strings, you're going to trip balls about it? What the fuck?
I mean, that's just me. But,
all right, I get it.
But I learned to like appreciate it for my second time watching it. And then I loved it. I was like, this movie is awesome.
Well, honestly, if it wasn't for you, Joey, I probably would not have appreciated that first watch.
Yeah, first one was really good. It's one of the best, what I say, kind of like that second grade of 80s slasher movies. You know, because you get like top tier, which is Nightmare, Friday, and Halloween. Second tier, I think. Party Master is one of the best. But for me, I like to also kind of keep it connected to this movie. I knew a lot of the actresses were in other movies that I've seen. But I will go with the actress Lindsay Lam, who is in this movie. I forgot which character, again, because there's too many characters and I forgot the name. But one of her other films, Helen Keller versus Nightwolves. I've mentioned this movie before. It's just a fun, ridiculous, super bloody comedy horror film. And it's also like really short, but I think that one's like under 60 minutes. It's hilarious. Another interesting fact about the actress Lindsay Lam: she's actually been in two different Helen Keller films, both with interesting titles. This one, obviously, Helen Keller versus Nightwolves. The other one, which came out before, was Helen Keller Has a Pit Bull, or something like that.
But that's fuck.
Apparently, that's a drama movie. Like, how is that a drama movie and not like a comedy horror?
Was it written by Will Ferrell?
I don't know. I like saw that title, I clicked on it, and it's a drama. It's like, what? This is a drama?
I mean, I've seen some porns that are considered dramas. Is it that kind of drama?
Maybe. But alrighty, Mr. Leo, who wrap up our season premiere, third year. Where can people find you at on the social medias?
Now you can find me at xxleoxr2d2xx on Instagram and apparently on Discord as well. Last time I remember, I was trying to remember what the fuck my ID was, and it was the same one. Oh man, I gotta change that ID for real.
Works.
Yeah, whatever works, right?
And as for me, you can find me at Nimrod Horror on the Instagram, and for the entire podcast group, you can find us at Nimrod Horror Podcast, one word, on the Instagram, Facebook. Don't forget on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment all of our videos. I know that I have not been posting as much as I like to. There's a few reasons because of that, but trust me, y'all. There's more that are coming. More are coming. As what was that from?
As long as we don't have to wait like we had to wait for those dragons on Game of Thrones, we're good.
Oh, yeah, like years. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. And next week, we have what some would call a horror classic with two horror legends. We're talking about pretty popular public domain film, Horror Express. So until then, I'm Joey. This is Leo. We out.
Lidles.
All right. All right, Mr. Leo. Let me contact you right.